The word tantra originally refers to the warp in a piece of fabric. You know, the warp is the thread that's laid down on the loom on which you weave the rest of the cloth, so that a tantra is a thread that runs through a piece of cloth. You could, I suppose, think of tantra as something like the thread on which reality is woven. Think of the world as a piece of cloth woven with threads. What is it that holds it together? It is its tantra, the thread that runs all the way through it. Somewhat less poetically, but with the same meaning, we could take the word tantra, like the word sutra, to refer to the thread that holds together the leaves of a book in the Indian tradition. We talked about this, I believe, earlier. If we didn't talk about it earlier, we can talk about it now. Sutras in India, when they're written, early sutras, of course, were passed on orally, but sutras, when they were written on palm leaves, narrow, long, hard palm leaves that were capable of receiving and preserving inscription. At the end of a palm leaf, there's a hole. Through the hole goes a thread. The thread is what binds this together, and the thread is sometimes used as a way of designating the text itself. So tantra, like the Mahayana and like the earlier tradition, is a textual tradition. Tantras are texts, and they're passed on in the same way the texts were in the earlier tradition. The word tantra can also refer to a lineage of transmission that's passed from a teacher to a student in a continuous line from generation to the next, from one generation to the next. The tantric tradition is concerned with the transmission of teaching from teacher to student. We'll talk about this in time as we dig more deeply into the tradition. And tantra, finally, another meaning, can mean power. We were talking in just the last lecture about the Swatantra argument, the argument that is independently presented in order to defeat an opponent's position. Swatantra, independent, it operates under its own power. Tantra, as a word, can mean power. And this too characterizes the tantric tradition. Tantric Buddhism is concerned with ways of cultivating and passing on power in a religious sense. So the word tantra has a lot of meanings, and each one of us is a clue to the identity of this new tradition. Tantra can also be called the Vajrayana, or the vehicle of the diamond or the thunderbolt. The word Vajra can mean either diamond or thunderbolt. Why is it called this? Because the tantric tradition is meant to produce an experience of awakening that is as hard as a diamond and as sharp as a thunderbolt, in the sense that it slices through the dualities of ordinary consciousness into an experience of awakening. And tantra also is quite commonly called the mantrayana, or the vehicle of mantras. A mantra is a sacred chant. Now, the word mantra is an important Indian word, and one worth pausing over, I think, especially because it plays such an important role in the tantric tradition. A mantra is a series of syllables that bring about an effect simply by the utterance of the syllables themselves, not because they necessarily refer to anything or because they communicate some kind of a message, but simply because the words themselves have power. That mantra that is used to summon Avalokiteshvara's compassion, we talked about in discussing the celestial bodhisattvas of the Mahayana, the mantra was Om Mani Padme Hum, is a mantra like this. Those syllables you could conceivably translate into English and interpret the meaning of, but the meaning is really not important. What's significant about them is that the words themselves, the syllables themselves, have power. This is a mantra. The tantric tradition uses mantras quite deliberately and quite extensively in this way. Now, historically, the early Vedic hymns, the hymns that we discussed right at the beginning of our course, were called mantras because they too were believed to have the power to invoke the gods.